Namaste and welcome to the Living India podcast by Purvi Shah Paulini. On business topics and global events in connection with spirituality. Integral and sustainable change means to integrate this aspect on a deeper level as well. Because knowing people means knowing business. I'm glad to be here with you and to initiate this first podcast about merging the ancient Eastern and Western wisdoms. And since we have discussed so often in person and on phone and on the internet about this, we thought about initiating this podcast and share our thoughts with hopefully many other people who are interested in that. And especially my personal topic in the future could be also the topic leadership. So to understand who I am and what I'm doing, I am a business consultant for German-speaking companies in Austria, Germany, Switzerland that enter the Indian market and would like to enter the Indian market. It is on a very basic business view right now how I'm explaining that. But looking at my own development, since development is a very interesting topic for an individual, for a society, or also for the world at the end, I see myself since 2005, I started my own business there with Living India, it's the company's name, where I started with intercultural trainings. From there, I came to the market entry studies or other studies companies needed to understand the Indian market. And finally, I'm also into organizational development since the last 5 years within the project called One World, No Hunger, which was initiated by the German government, and where we support farmers' organizations in Africa and India to become more professional. Now, this word seems to be also a little bit difficult, but let us keep it here right now with professional. We are not here to say that's better to do it like this and that. We see what they need and where we can support. That's another way of kind of NGO work, but it's a social civil project. Now, looking at all my experience which I had and looking at the world we live today, I have seen that we have reached a level where we should pause a moment and have a look from a bird's eye view where we as humans stand. And all these business aspects, and which are fine and which are helpful, and we have reached so many wonderful things and achieved many wonderful things, is also regarding technology. We fly to the moon, automobiles are about to drive autonomous, artificial intelligence is already simplifying our lives. It is actually a peaceful time looking at the wars we are fighting in the world today. And still, I have the feeling we are facing some problems. And I was always curious to understand, why do we have that? And why do we struggle? Why do we have a situation like this pandemic right now? And pointing out the fingers to others, I realize, doesn't help anymore. It doesn't help to point out the fingers to a country like China, say it's them who did something. I think our problem lies very much deeper, and which has to do with each and every single individual in this world. And I think this is also a very important topic regarding leadership. So if you look at the new formation of leadership in the future, what does a real leader need to lead other people? So as long as we are not clear with ourselves, how can we lead others? So looking at all my experience I have gathered in the last 20 years of business experience, I think that we have come to a point where we have to look at a paradigm shift, and in the way of thinking, in the way of dealing with each other, of interacting with each other. And that is one of many, many reasons, or few of many, many reasons, why I would like to exchange these thoughts with you and go a little bit deeper and having a look also at the Bhagavad Gita, which is an epic scripture of the Vedas, of the Hinduism, but also we can relate to Buddhism or to the Christian, ancient Christian wisdom. So that is no rocket science behind it, but we are not making use of it to make our lives a little bit easier. So that is my intention to exchange those thoughts with you.
Wow. Wow. Thank you very much, Purvi. And I must say that I'm also very excited and very happy that we are really doing this, this podcast series we have been talking so much about, because yes, you and me, we are always talking so profoundly about things. So at first, I thought this is a great opportunity to exchange with you about the idea of what is the leadership of today and how can we go from here. And by now, having all these thoughts gathered in my mind, I am just way too excited, and I assume I have more questions than answers by today. So some of my questions are, if there are really any differences between this ancient philosophy that brought us here and this idea of us, let me call us Gaiaists, who think about future. And if so, how can we use all these philosophies and combine them in order to create something which we call the most beautiful of all worlds? Or how can we think beyond, and how can we figure out what future leadership might mean then? So I think the easiest now is to introduce myself. So I am a therapist in my main life, and in my life next to it, I'm a storyteller. I like to combine the two and say I'm a storytelling therapist. And when it comes to my work, I work with clients, with listeners, with readers, with my colleagues, in terms of on body, mind, soul, society, and planet Earth. So people like to call me the Body Whisperer or Princess Gaia. And both of these names originate from a notion, which is the notion you might recognize throughout the whole podcast. I am listening to things, to nature, to body parts, to the planet, and I try to let them speak through me. And I think this is a gift, and this gift needs to be used for something. And I have decided that I have this wish to reconcile, to conciliate each of us human beings and each being with themselves and with the surroundings. I think I want to create a new awareness of how mutualism might look like when we use it for living our life, for working, for creating a society. So to my praxis, mostly come people who already realize that their chronic physical imbalance has more reasons than only body reasons. So they realize that there is this, let me call it, biopsychosocial chain. So to me come, let's say, potential leaders. So parents, owners of companies, artists, scientists, entrepreneurs. So they all come and they all know about something we call biopsychosocial chains or butterfly effect. This means that I think organizations can truly transform to a new consciousness just due to their leaders who sort of develop themselves. So, and this is actually where I come to my idea that I think throughout human history development, and not even starting with the Neolithic Revolution, human beings have lost the connection towards the planet, towards the surroundings, towards the other people around them, and towards their inner selves. So we have lost what once was defined as mutualism. And because I also believe that we are still bound, even if we have lost the connection, I like to call this disconnectedness in the interconnectedness. And I think this is definitely feasible for me. So we are all one. And as such, all of our individual well-being as leaders and as employees of a company, and the well-being of the company, and in the wider sense, every health of each individual and the health of our planet Earth is directly bound. So coming to leadership, to me, a leader is realizing and understanding this bond between the inside and the outside world. A leader understands the butterfly effect and tries to create a tidy self in order to lead a balanced life on behalf of her or his own well-being and the well-being of others. A leader is acting calm and silent and not making much noise, talking too much about his actions, but rather embodying the actions. I think a leader understands this notion of doing things, of letting things done and letting things happen through them. And I think that there needs to be a balance about letting things grow and getting things done. And I think there is no one or the other. This needs to be also combined, you know? So all is one. And now I want to come to this ancient philosophy, because your idea was to take a closer look to the teaching from the Bhagavad Gita. I hope I pronounce it right. And what I want to say about this before we start this podcast, I think it's very important, because what I understand from the Bhagavad Gita is that it was developed on the battlefield. So at least I think there was this epic battle called Mahabharata, which was in India, like 400 before Christ. And there was a lot of confusion, a lot of doubt. And then the Bhagavad Gita was written. And I think nowadays we also live on a battlefield called Mother Earth. And we also have a lot of confusion, a lot of doubt. And we are moving towards trust, towards clarity, towards strength. And I think this is what the Bhagavad Gita teaches. So to my idea, what I've also understood of the Bhagavad Gita, it deals with one, our actions we take, the things we do, the karma, which I think is the karma. It deals too with this duty, with this notion we do the actions with, like the moral and the ethic standards, which I think is the dharma. Then it also deals with the souls we are in the physical beings we are on this earth. And this is, I think, the atma. And then there is something, the Brahman. And I think this is like the consciousness, which is over all. I think I'm doing this right. So I think this is all very important for today. And now comparing this to me, the Gaiaist, I just feel very, very connected to this Bhagavad Gita idea. The Gaiaists, we believe in Gaia as a living being. So there is this Gaia hypothesis, which was developed in the 60s from James Lovelock and Lynn Margulis. And they found out that the flow equilibrium on Earth is the same as it is in a cell or any living being. So speaking of that, Mother Earth is a living being that creates life on herself to live. And Mother Earth in Greek mythology is called Gaia, the goddess Gaia. So this is called the Gaia hypothesis. And starting with this, I once wrote The Diary of the Earth, which was a Christmas present for friends. And out of this happened this movement we now have, which we call Storytelling for Gaia. And we tell stories on behalf of a thriving beauty on Mother Earth. So in this podcast, Purvi, I hope it makes sense that I really always bring in Gaia's voice, if I may. And that's all I have to say. And I'm really excited.
So am I. And everything makes sense, whatever we do. I think it makes sense to include Gaia, because we are Gaia and we are part of Gaia. We cannot live without Gaia. So since looking from the Bhagavad Gita's point of view, or even the oneness we are, we have, we live in, which got lost, you already mentioned the separation, is just maybe to, you told it correctly about the Bhagavad Gita and the Mahabharata. Bhagavad Gita is just a part of the Mahabharata. So Bhagavad Gita is embedded in a whole bigger story of the Mahabharata, and which is the Bhagavad Gita is actually also translated as the Song of God. And it is a 700 verse Hindu scripture that is part, as I said, of these epic Mahabharata, and which is approximately dated the second century before Christ. So it is very, very old. And it is set in a narrative, as you like stories. This is really in a set of a narrative, of a framework, of a dialogue between the king Arjuna, who is the king of the Pandavas, and his guide and charioteer Krishna. Krishna is, I think, the eighth incarnation of God Vishnu. It is not important to know that, but maybe it makes to some people sense to know this. And as you said, it's actually representing the battlefield. Arjuna is somewhere in between. He is not the person who loves to make war. He is rather a person who's very peaceful. And this is his battlefield in his mind, which represents the Bhagavad Gita. So it represents our battlefields, our thoughts and our battle that we face every day. And we think that we are in a battle. And Krishna tells him in the 700 verse dialogue, it's actually his decision how to react and how to go for this war. Either he wants to go for this war or not. And it's against 99 brothers he has to fight a war. And on this battlefield where everything is set, in these 700 verses, Krishna guides him. And this guidance is actually also a wonderful guidance for us that can help us actually to maybe lead a better life and also for the planet and for Gaia, you know? And you also mentioned the topic about that the belief system that we live in, that we all are separated. And this is also something that came into my mind when I prepared for this podcast. And I long time ago, I heard from someone that, and which really makes sense, that the moment we believe that we are separated, that creates automatically the belief of an own identity. Now, I'm already going very deep into it, but in the other episodes, we will talk about identity, what is self, what is not self. And all the teachers, all the priests, they do teach that there is someone above and we are here, and that we do have to do something in order to reach somewhere. Yeah. And that was taught by all the religions. We can look at the Hinduism, we can look at Christianity, we can look at the Islam, you know, any religion is teaching you that. And in order, if we believe in that, then we have a theology of separation. Yeah, the moment we separate ourselves, we are there, we are here, there's someone up there, we automatically separate ourselves from actually the oneness. And this creates the stage for separation of arts. In German, you call it Geisteswissenschaften. Yeah, it's interesting to see how actually something is created by separation. And this is the cosmology of separation. And this again establishes a separated psychology. That means me against you, me against the world, me against the others. You know, that's wonderfully explained there. And this creates a separated sociology, a society that separates into different political groups, religions, ethnologies, and so on and so on. And like this, we created societies with all aspects of their selves. That's very interesting to see.
Yes.
And this leads to a separated pathology. That means a pathological behavior of self-destruction. Yeah, it's very, very short to that, what we are going to explore in the different podcasts. And this behavior also leads them to killing in the name of God, you know? And this model of separation results into the search of leadership. Because the moment we are always in search of something, we need someone or something that leads us to somewhere, yeah? And this is something where I realized the last years that if we always go ahead with searching, where is the end? It's the same with growth. You know, if the economical growth is the only goal we have, growth is endless. The search, what we are looking for, is endless. So the question at the end is, do we really search something, or are we already there? And what do we need to understand that we are not separated? And how can this again help leaders in the world, as you said, mothers, CEOs of companies, and what kind of guidance would people need independently of leaders? What kind of guidance do we need as humans to understand that there is no separation? Might sound for many people a little bit esoteric, I have to say that, but I think we have come to a stage where spirituality has to be differentiated from esoteric. And spirituality has to be part of business. And as long we don't find ourselves in including that aspect, it will be very difficult to find new models of sustainable way of living. And I think it's more than sustainability. It is rather integral, or integrate everything that helps people and the planet to live in a dignified way. And to say, what do we all want? We want to be happy. We want to live a peaceful life. And how can we reach there? That is, I think, that we would like to cover in this podcast.
I have almost nothing to add. That makes total sense, Purvi. And yeah. I've been thinking all the time about all my clients that are always striving, you know, what's next? And I try to explain to them that we have done the last step before we have done the first step. And now we are sort of stumbling there and we have forgotten to build a foundation of being, you know. And this is very, very interesting because many of them, I say, you know, the best thing would be if you go on reset, if you go back, if you recover, if you tidy yourself up before your tasks find you. It's not us finding our tasks, it's our tasks finding us. So they say, oh, no, I cannot do nothing because doing nothing is doing nothing, you know. And I think the hardest doing for us human beings is going back and doing nothing and letting things grow. You know, and again, when you talk about separation and all is one and this notion, I try to always explain that there is no one or the other. Yes, we are all individual beings. And yes, we are all one. And at the same time, yes, we do. And yes, things are happening. You know, well, we can talk about this more and more. We will have more details in the whole podcast series, I think. But I think this was a very, very good explanation from you. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm also quite curious now how we have set a wonderful, I think, nice headlines, and the listener might be curious to get to know what the next podcast series is going to bring, and we will keep you updated.
Yes. So thank you very much, Purvi, for letting me have this opportunity, and I'm very much looking forward to our first chapter, so to say, right?
Yeah. Yes, I'm also very much looking forward to that, and yeah, see you soon.